Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
What is going on out there around the valley on this Monday morning as the Arizona Cardinals have won again, now 6-0. Wolf, stop me if you've heard this before, coming in here doing a show the day after the Cardinals win a football game. This is it's a pretty nice habit to get into, huh?
No, this really is. This is big time right here. These Victory Mondays, they don't get much better, especially when you're 6-0 right now. We're going to have a Take Tuesday tomorrow. You know that.
Yeah, apparently we're going to have to keep having these. I mean, yesterday's game in particular was one that, you know, you never go into a game watching your team thinking, okay, they can lose this one, it's okay. But considering everything that happened last week, if the Cardinals had lost yesterday to Cleveland, I think most people would have given them a pass.
Yes.
And instead, they just came out and were dominant for, I don't know what, all but 5 seconds of the first half?
Just truly incredible, honestly. One play in that game where you went, oh boy, really? You know, I mean, it just was a complete beatdown once again of the Cleveland Browns. The Arizona Cardinals, just watching that game, the only thing I could think of is this is the best football team in the universe. You could go all the way to Jupiter. You could go to Saturn. You could go to Mars. You could go to the all over the universe. You're not going to find a better football team than the Arizona Cardinals. They're 6-0 right now and just destroying teams, Luke.
I mean, that's the thing. That it's not like yesterday came down to the last play of the game. They were up 20-0. If not for that Hail Mary at the end of the first half, it was never even really in doubt, Wolf. And I know we'll get into this, but DeAndre Hopkins looks like a guy you can go to anytime you need a play, and he will make it 100% of the time. That's what it feels like at this point. I know he only had 3 catches yesterday for 55 yards,
right,
but 2 of them touchdowns, and one of them was just, he keeps outdoing himself on some of these touchdowns. That move just outside the end zone where he got in for his first score, I think they're still looking for him on that part of the field.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that, man. Honestly, the star power that is on this team, the dudes that are on this team right now, the playmakers that are on this team, it is a startling collection what we're seeing and how well these guys are playing together right now. I just want to go back to the destruction of teams that they have played in their stadiums. I'm talking about teams that were favored to win the game. They destroyed the Tennessee Titans. They destroyed the Los Angeles Rams. They destroyed the Browns. It's basically those 3 games right there, a symphony of destruction. And yes, cue the Megadeth, please, on this beautiful Victory Monday. A symphony of destruction. All 3 of those teams were favored, and all 3 of those teams got crushed. The average margin of victory in those 3 games, 22 points. That was the average margin of victory in those 3 games, Luke. 22 points. Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable. And that's why I don't understand when people are looking and saying, yeah, I don't know if I trust the Cardinals. Like, what is not to trust? That they weren't in the Super Bowl last year? Because as far as this year's team, not only are they the only undefeated team, but like you just said, they're dismantling most opponents. They're dismantling the toughest opponents. When they go Yes. into a game and they feel like they, you know, they're being overlooked. I mean, they were underdogs in that game yesterday, but I think what needs to be distinguished there is they were underdogs at the start of the week last week, even when we thought they were going to have their entire team, maybe minus Max Williams.
Yes.
They were underdogs a week ago right now against Cleveland. And so all week they heard, okay, well, yeah, you guys are 5-0, but you're not going to beat Cleveland in Cleveland. Oh, by the way, you're going to lose Chandler Jones, and you're going to lose Rodney Hudson, you're going to lose your coach, and Zach Allen, and all these other pieces, and they still went out there and completely blew them out.
Absolutely. It really is incredible right now what they are doing, and it's not only the tape, it's not only watching the game and saying, oh my goodness, look at all the talent the Arizona Cardinals have out there on the field, but you go inside the numbers as well. Listen to this. The Arizona Cardinals have the second best point differential in the league, second only to the Buffalo Bills. okay, the second best point differential in the league. They're the number four scoring offense in the league. Now, that last week, obviously, against the San Francisco 49ers, only scoring 17 points, that really set them back. But they're still number four scoring offense, number two scoring defense in the league. They're 6-0. You put all of those numbers together right now, there's just no denying it, whether you watch the tape or you look at a game book. They're the best football team in the universe.
They are sixth in terms of Super Bowl odds right now through the first 6 weeks of the season. I don't know what more you have to do. I guess they should have won seven of their first six games.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I understand the speculation. I really do. I get it.
Really?
Yes, I do.
I understand.
Listen, coming into this season right now, would you say that Cliff Kingsbury was on the hot seat?
Do
you think there were doubters as to whether or not Cliff Kingsbury was going to be able to win with the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, honestly, think of the 2-5 finish again that they had. The 2-5 finish, the last two games, they lost to C.J. Beathard and the San Francisco 49ers and John Wolford, a guy who had never thrown a pass in the National Football League. They couldn't win one of those games and get into the postseason. Once again, I'm just saying, There was a lot of speculation. Do I think it was justified? No, I don't think it was justified, but I will tell you, coming into this year, we all knew this was a prove-it year. This was going to be a make-or-break year for Cliff Kingsbury, and then Cliff Kingsbury would tell you that.
I understood the skepticism you got to show me. I understood that coming into the season, and I even understand, okay, you go out there and you hammer Tennessee. Well, it's one game. It was impressive, but it was
absolutely
one game. And I get it after through 3-0, Wolf. I understand if people were like, okay, 3-0, but sometimes, look, we've seen around the league, I haven't been that impressed by the Raiders since they started 3-0. Denver's lost three straight since they started 3-0. So I get it through 3-0, but I remember looking at the stretch of going to L.A. to play the Rams, then returning home to host San Francisco, and then going to Cleveland and thinking, I hope if they can get two out of three, that'd be great, and this team's for real. They won all three, and they obliterated the Rams and the Browns. So the doubt that's there now, like, I'm not saying people should be running out and be like, oh, the Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl for sure. Buffalo's a good team, and there are other teams on the list, but I don't understand why people can look at the Chargers and be like, well, yeah, they're for real. Okay, why? Why are they for real and the Cardinals aren't?
No. Yeah, absolutely, Luke. Listen, I'm with you on that. But again, as a former player, I have to tell you right now, maybe it's my predisposition on this. I don't care. I want to prove it. If I'm a player, I don't care if people look at me and have speculation. This is the thing I love the most about competition, is proving it. I'm going to go out there. I'm better than you are, and I'm going to prove it right here in front of all these people. The notion of doing that fills me with a sense of goodness I can't even describe. And I think that's the thing that I don't mind. I don't mind all the people doubting the Arizona Cardinals. I don't mind the speculation. I understand, hey, listen, we came into this year and nobody was really looking at the Arizona Cardinals. They thought they were going to finish fourth in the NFC West, dead bottom, dead last in the NFC West. I understand all of that. I got no problem with you thinking that. And at the same time, I am willing to admit that's just my mindset as a player, as a former player. You're always in prove-it mode. Who cares? I hope they remain in prove-it mode the entire season, including into the postseason.
Well, I think this team in particular thinks the same way you do, Wolf, because they seem, I mean, now again, go back and look, and Kyler Murray even kind of said stuff after the game that sort of alluded to it yesterday, but I mean, there are three games that on paper they were supposed to lose, going into Tennessee to start the season before anybody really knew what they were, going into LA in week four and going into Cleveland yesterday. The three games they were, quote, supposed to lose are the ones they've looked the best in.
Yes.
So the ones where they're being overlooked, I'm with you in that sense. For this team to continue to excel the way they are, I would prefer that they were underdogs at home against Houston next week instead of favored by 17.5.
Just incredible what I saw yesterday. It really was. I don't think I've ever seen a game where leadership won the game. A game where you could point to leadership and say, that's what won the game for the Arizona Cardinals. Are you kidding me? I'm embarrassed to even say that. And if in fact that is the case, and this is something we've got to talk about, Steve Keim just won a game for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, He did. And that Marcus Golden deal to bring him back last year keeps looking better and better, too. All right, coming up, the Cardinals overcame adversity and got the win yesterday to go to 6-0. Big Red Reacts is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
Yeah, welcome back to the show on this Big Red Monday. Yet another good, great. Dare I say great, Wolf? I mean, when you're 6-0, I said this last week, you got to celebrate these things unless you're an actual player on the team or a coach on the team. If you're a fan driving around right now, you're at work or you're at home, whatever, you got to be enjoying this. 6-0 to start the season. Their best start since they moved to the Valley. If they win this weekend against Houston, it'll tie their best start in franchise history. This, and they look every bit the part of it, too. They look like they're getting better.
See, that is the thing about it right there. It's how they're playing. It looks like they are coming together in all three phases, offensively, defensively, and with special teams. They are gelling, coming together, and, yeah, you see a team that is getting better with each week.
Let's get into, I mean, every week there's been a lot of twists and turns in these games. I guess yesterday they really wasn't, other than that play at the end of the first half by Cleveland, but there were some really impressive plays by the Cardinals to jump out to a 20-0 lead and then ultimately slam the door on Cleveland in the second half. So, without hesitation, let's get right into Big Red Reacts.
Wolf and Luke, Big Red Reacts. Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Brought to you by Alaska Federal Credit Union.
Murray takes the shotgun snap, straight drop back, steps up, moves to his left, throws left into the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. What a throw to Christian Kirk for six. Mayfield on the gun, takes the snap, blitz coming. Mayfield pumps, gets hit, and sacked back at the 25-yard line by Jordan Hicks, and the Cardinals take over on downs. Browns blitz, quick throw to the left side, caught by Hopkins at the 10, slips a tackle, runs left to the 5, into the end zone for the touchdown. Wow, DeAndre Hopkins broke a tackle. It looked like he was dead to rights, but he spun out of there, hits pay dirt. Arizona leads at 13-0. Mayfield on the gun, takes the shotgun snap, drops back to throw, steps up, gets hit by Golden, escapes, and now moves around in the pocket, rolls left, and hit from behind, fumbles the ball. It's loose at the 19-yard line, and the Cardinals fall on it.
I wouldn't say, I didn't feel like, oh, I gotta do this because Chandler out. I'm coming every day, no matter what, every day, practice or a game, I'm bringing it up, bringing my all to get better, and that's what I did today. But, of course, when you got a guy like Chandler gone, I wanted to play for Chandler, because I know if he was here, he'd play his heart out and lay it on the line every play. So that was my thing more, to just go out there and play for him.
Snap, ball is down, and the kick from Prater is up, and it is good. 51-yard try from Prater. Snap is good. Ball is down. The kick from Prater is up, and it is good. Prater nailed
third
it.
Third and fourth to 10. Two receivers left. Shotgun snap. Mayfield looks right, throws right. Wide open. Donovan Peoples-Jones with a catch and into the end zone for the touchdown.
Snap, spot. Prater's kick is up, and it is perfect. He hammered that ball and split the uprights to make it 23-7 with 43 seconds to go in the first half, and the Browns are out of timeouts. Mayfield back to throw. Steps up, in trouble, gets out of there, and now launches it deep, middle of the field, into the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Peoples-Jones with no time left.
Oh, of course. I mean, you don't want to do anything like that, but, I mean, that gave them a little bit of momentum, but at the end of the day, man, we came out of halftime, man, and we done what we had to do.
Shotgun snap. Mayfield looking. Pressure on Mayfield hit, but he steps up again, and he fumbles the ball. It's loose on the far side. Devon Kennard hops on it. He's got it for the Cardinals. Another takeaway. J.J. Watt forced the fumble. Baker Mayfield is hurt. J.J. Watt signals for the Browns training staff as Kennard comes up with the recovery. Second and goal at the 9. Three receivers. Shotgun snap. Straight drop back for Kyler. Steps up. Lobs it back in the end zone. Wide open is Hopkins. And a touchdown. Shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Mayfield throws across the middle. And the ball is dropped at the 2-yard line. Incomplete. Beckham couldn't hang on to it.
First and 10 at the 14. Crowd starting to empty. Kyler back to throw. Fires to the end zone on the right side for A.J. Green, who caught it. touchdown. A.J. Green one-on-one, a fade, and it's dropped in a bucket for Kyler Murray's fourth touchdown pass of the day. And the Cardinals just put the stake in the Browns. Colt McCoy takes the snap, takes a knee. The Cardinals make a major statement. Through six games, it's clear. They're the best team in the NFL.
I don't know how you can dispute that. Dave Pasch there at the end. Wolf, I know you were sitting right next to him when he said it. I mean, you, as I've been saying the last couple weeks, if you want to make an argument for Buffalo, that's fine. I'd love to see these two teams play, honestly. But maybe we will at some point in the winter.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more that the Cardinals could do through these first six games than what they've done. And it's not even a matter of, well, you know, you just play the teams in front of you. They've played some very good teams.
You know what? I just can't get over it based on what I saw yesterday, Luke. Leadership. Leadership. This game was won before it was even played, Luke. It was won before it was even played. The leadership inside the locker room rallied this team when it needed it the most and allowed Big Red to beat the Browns in their home. Their home. I mean, Steve Keim's goal of getting more leadership inside the locker room just won a game.
Yeah.
For Big Red.
Yeah.
Just won a game. Now, look, I'm embarrassed to say that. I am, because, you know, honestly, it's the players that go out and win games. But if you want to boil it down to what Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals tried to do in the offseason, they tried to get more physical. Boy, did you see physicality yesterday? Did you see that?
Isaiah Simmons has like two plays every game where I'm like, oh, okay. Isaiah yes. Simmons is here, and he wants everybody to know.
Yes, the physicality of this team, and then, of course, the leadership. Leadership won this game before they even stepped out onto that field, because that leadership inside the locker room said, no excuses. No excuses whatsoever. Yeah, we're missing our coach. We're missing our head coach. We're missing our play caller. We're missing our best pass rusher. We're missing the heart of this offensive line and Rodney Hudson. We're 6-0. Are you kidding me? We're good. We all know we're good right now. We just got hit with this COVID stuff and the injury stuff. It came out of nowhere in the last 48 hours. And you know what? Hey, listen, 5-1 is still really, really good. And we are a good team. That the leadership inside this locker room said, no. No excuses whatsoever. And they went out and played that way. I got to tell you, I'm geeking out a little bit. I'm geeking out because as a former player, to see that actually happen, what happened yesterday in Cleveland, to see that actually happen where they came out and balled out collectively with all of the adversity that they were faced with, Luke, that's a little geek out moment as a former player and team captain.
Well, I mean, I fully understand it. I feel like we learned, or at least for me, and I had this thought that was partially dashed with that Hail Mary at the end of the first half. But through a good chunk of that first half, I had this thought that I'm learning more about this team in the first half of the game yesterday than I had over the first five games.
Yes.
Because not only did they come out and ultimately win the game, Wolf, with everything that was going on all week, even go back to the Max Williams and Rodney Hudson injuries coming out of last week's game, all the COVID stuff, all the just the injuries and everything stacked against them, they scored all five possessions in the first half yesterday. So you want to talk about coming out and jumping on a team.
Yes.
Every single time they had the ball in the first half, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, field goal, field goal. Now, I understand sometimes you want those field goals to be touchdowns,
yes,
but when you're scoring every time you touch the ball, it's okay.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that's what I wrote down in my notes, just the fact that they're 6-0, and yet they came out and played with desperation early in this game, to your point. That's leaders in that locker room calling each other out, challenging each other to ball out and be prepared to play hard and give whatever it is that you have. It's accountability that is going on inside that locker room right now. It's just it's so cool to see it. Your head coach is out, but they played as a team, and they beat the Browns in all three phases. Their play caller is out, and yet they scored 37 points. With balance and efficiency. Their best pass rusher is out, yet they had five sacks in the game. And, you know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Rodney Hudson is out, but they averaged 5.8 5 yards per carry. 5.85 with Chase Edmonds and James Conner. They're two running backs. Every time they handed it off to one of those two guys, they averaged almost 6 yards a carry. It goes on and on and on. It was a stunning display of leadership and talent inside that locker room.
Well, they also held a team that runs for 187 yards a game to 73. And I know there's a lot that goes into that. Okay, Nick Chubb wasn't playing, but they still had Kareem Hunt. And part of it was what we talked about last week. The Cardinals got up on Cleveland so big that Cleveland couldn't run because they were trying to make up a 20-point deficit for most of the game. The other thing, Wolf, and I completely hear what you're saying and agree with you about the leadership component. I do. But there's also another element here. Maybe the Cardinals are just so talented that even when they don't have all their pieces, they just have too much talent for a lot of these teams. For whatever number that is, maybe it's, you know, it's 75% of the league they can just beat on talent alone.
Yes, and I think there are six teams that would probably agree with you.
Text us your thoughts on what you saw yesterday to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, another win, another week shutting down the opposing team's rushing attack. We'll react to the Cardinals' defensive performance and why it has been so impressive all season long. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
Wolf, we talked about it a little bit on the Big Red Crosstalk when we were on with Bickley and Murata this morning. I know they talked about it on their show this morning. Vance Joseph has done such a remarkable job, specifically this year, that, I mean, teams are going to be looking at him. There's always teams that need a head coach in the offseason. I'm not saying he's leaving or anything like that, but if you're a team looking for a head coach when January rolls around this year, how are you not looking at the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals right now?
No, absolutely, Luke. You're all over that. And honestly, it's justified. This is one of the reasons why when you hire somebody, you hire good people. You hire people that you know are really good at their jobs. And then you take a hard look at yourself sometimes. If you're Steve Keim and you're looking at yourself, you have to ask yourself, have I provided this guy with what he needs to be successful? It's a hard, hard thing to do as a general manager, to really critique yourself and evaluate yourself. And going back to Vance Joseph and when he first showed up here and the lack of defense that was being played, there were a lot of people that wanted him to be fired, frankly, from his job. And the Arizona Cardinals said, you know what, he's good at his job. This is what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. They hire people they know are good at their jobs. And then they evaluate themselves as to whether or not they have in some way inhibited the ability of them doing their jobs. And I think the Arizona Cardinals and Steve Keim looked at Vance Joseph and said, this guy is a good defensive coordinator, and we haven't given him what he needs. And now all of a sudden, he's got what he needs, and then some. And you can see what's happening.
Yeah. And look, I know different people have different philosophies on that sort of stuff, and I know that it also varies based on the individual situation. But specifically with Vance Joseph coming here in 2019 and being the defensive coordinator on a team that was in complete rebuild mode, I always felt like it was a little dangerous to judge him on that first season, because once again, all the defensive players on this team were switching defensive coordinators and switching schemes in some respects, and just, you have to have some continuity at the position. Like, you don't want bad continuity, but I think a lot of what we're seeing this year, in addition to, okay, yeah, Steve Keim's given him a lot of really good players on defense, and you add J.J. Watt and you add Isaiah Simmons.
Sure.
But in addition to that, it's the fact that Vance Joseph was the DC last year and the year before. There's some continuity, not just for him, but for his players from year to year.
Yeah, and I think you also have to look at it and ask yourself, did Vance Joseph just learn how to go out there magically and be the second scoring defense in the National Football League? Did he just learn how to do that? That it come to him in the... No, he always knew how to do that. It's just trying to tailor a defense or tailor your offense, if you're an offensive coordinator, around the players that you have. He didn't have, in my opinion, an awful lot to work with there. He did not. And I know it was the tight end thing, and over and over and over again. Even I was very, very upset that for whatever reason we could not cover a tight end in 2019.
Yeah.
I totally understand that, but there were factors. There were reasons why that was happening right now. For all I know, the defense this year has been the biggest surprise that the Arizona Cardinals have perpetrated on everybody in the National Football League. It's been their defense. And yesterday, they were shining, save for one play.
Yeah, and the one last thing on Vance Joseph, too, is, I mean, he's done this before in the sense that he was such a good defensive coordinator at one point that he got a head coaching job.
Correct.
In Denver. And so it's not like, to your point, it's not like he just suddenly learned how to become a defensive coordinator 4 weeks ago.
Correct.
It's just now all the pieces are there. You mentioned the defense. How about Robert Alford, who, by the way, we're going to have on the show here in about an hour and a half, talked about the interception he picked up yesterday.
I mean, it was a dig. He had a dig. I was going to drive on it, and Baker threw it, and I just played the ball, man. And, hey, it hit my hands. I got to catch it.
So there's that, Wolf. There's the turnovers. But then there's this. How about the fact that they stopped Cleveland on fourth down three more times, meaning they've stopped opponents on fourth down seven times in 2 weeks? Here's more from Robert Alford.
Yeah, man, we're just working our tail off at practice, man. When we feel like teams is going for it on fourth down, we feel disrespected. And that makes us grit up even more. And the day showed, man, hey, stop going for it on fourth down upon us, because we're gonna bring out our big boy pads and whatever we need to do to win that down.
Man, I'll tell you what, honestly, Robert Alford played his butt off, and he's only getting better and better and better as the season unfolds as well. We're starting to see what we wanted to see out of Robert Alford over the last two seasons, and why he was so skilled, and why I was so impressed with him and so high on Robert Alford when Steve Keim went out and brought him in here. We're starting to see the reasons why, but the defense collectively, once again, 14 points given up yesterday. They're now giving up 18.2 points per game. That is number two in the National Football League, man. 18.2. They forced Baker Mayfield to beat them. We were talking about that all week long. And although he wasn't bad, I don't think Baker was bad. He wasn't up to the challenge yesterday, certainly. They scored on one drive and one play. That basically was it for Baker Mayfield. One drive and one play. The defense shut them down in a big-time way, shut down that rushing attack, and made Baker Mayfield try to beat him.
You know, the other thing on the fourth downs, too, I mean, this is a really good position that the Cardinals are in, because you have an offense that clearly makes opposing coaches feel like 3 points won't be enough against this defense. Like, you have to get seven, because you figure Kyler Murray and the offense are going to come the other way and get seven on you. But, you know, there are times where it's like, you know, at the end of the game and the Cardinals are up by 23. Cleveland's going to go for it on fourth down. But, Wolf, the first time they went for it yesterday, it was 7-0 Cardinals.
Yeah.
And Cleveland was at Arizona's 13. Like, why wouldn't you just take the points at home,
exactly,
make it 7-3, unless it really is the fear of this Cardinals offense?
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. That's exactly what it is right there. Once again, it is looking at the game and saying, I have to do the extraordinary. I can't do the chung. I can't do the base. I can't do the normal. I can't do the ordinary. I've got to do the extraordinary if we want to win this game. That's the kind of pressure the Arizona Cardinals offense is suddenly putting on opposing coaches and opposing players and opposing offenses. You've got to try to keep up with what we're doing. This has been the secret to the Kansas City Chiefs and their power over the last few years in the National Football League. It's been their offense and the threat. Everybody knows that it's coming right now. The only thing more powerful than money is the promise of money. And the only thing more powerful than the Kansas City Chiefs offense is the promise of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, lighting your defense up. And it's the reason why coaches will take chances against the Chiefs, because they know they have to do the extraordinary or they have no chance of winning a game.
This is Vance Joseph after the game yesterday talking about what they have done defensively to teams specifically on fourth down.
That's a takeaway for us. You know, so we had what, three or four takeaways. But if you want for four on fourth down, that's three more. You know, we count those as takeaways because the ball is back in our possession. You know, so that's the same as a fumble or an interception or anything, a sack calls fumble. You know, so that's big for us. We spend time on it. You know, it's a D&D that we take pride in stopping guys, and we save calls just for those four downs.
It's hard to argue with that, Wolf. It's basically forcing turnovers.
He's right on it right there. I mean, honestly, the Cardinals did exactly what they needed to do to beat the Browns yesterday. They scored a ton of points. They stayed balanced offensively, running the ball, throwing the ball. That helped Kyler Murray, no doubt about it. They shut down the Browns' running game, forced them to try and beat them with their B game, basically. They weren't up to the task, and they turned the Browns over three times. Turned them over three times in a traditional way, and then three times on downs. Six turnovers in the game. Every way you look at it, the Arizona Cardinals, they destroyed the Cleveland Browns.
Win tickets to the Phoenix Suns home opener. Just text ticket 620-620 and listen for your name coming up in the 12 o'clock hour today. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town, powered by FanDuel. And speaking of the Suns, Mikal Bridges got his extension. The deadline is today at 3. It's DeAndre Ayton getting one too. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wedge Buster, Wedge Salad. Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, the Phoenix Suns open the season on Wednesday night of this week. So, Wolf, as if we didn't have enough going on with the Cardinals, and, ASU was kind enough to bow out of any sort of championship discussion in the second half of that game. We can get to that later. But with the Cardinals, now you've got the Suns stepping up and looking to defend their Western Conference title from last year. It starts in just a couple days. Mikal Bridges got an extension yesterday. It was kind of lost in the shuffle with everything going on with the football team. But the deadline to get that extension done, because today is October 18th, is 3 o'clock today.
You know, it's amazing right there, because obviously Mikal Bridges was willing to negotiate, and it appears that DeAndre Ayton was not willing to negotiate. And the Suns get this thing done. We were wondering when that would happen. Would DeAndre Ayton have to be signed before Mikal Bridges? We got our answer on that one right there, didn't we?
Yeah, and this whole time I've been wondering, you know, did one have to happen before the other? They obviously weren't going to happen at the exact same second. So now I find myself wondering, was this them simply saying, okay, let's get Mikal done so we can figure something out with DA at 2 o'clock today? Or was this them saying, we tried to get something done with DA, he's not coming off, he's not budging off the max with the potential escalators and all that stuff, so let's get Mikal done because the deadline's coming up. Let's at least get him done, and then we'll deal with DA next year. And I guess we're not going to know that answer for sure for another 4 hours. But I can't help but wonder, because you and I talked about this a lot the last couple weeks, and then DA kind of reinforced it with his comments last week. If he feels like he's not being respected like his peers, when it's Luka and Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr. and SGA going out there getting max extensions, isn't it going to be awkward? I know it's not a max extension, but it's going to be awkward when he looks around and he's like, even my teammate just got paid.
Yeah. No, but once again, you know, your teammate was willing to negotiate, and he's not willing to negotiate. And that's going to put DeAndre Ayton in the ultimate prove-it year of his early career right now. The ultimate prove-it career. How is he going to respond to that? That's what I want to know. I really don't know what to expect from DeAndre Ayton. I really don't. It's because he's so young and he's still in the process of maturing. Part of me wants to believe that he's not going to be impacted by this either way. He's just going to go out there knowing that he's going to get paid at some point in time, knowing that he's got the support of his teammates, knowing that he's got the support of his own personal staff, whatever it may be. He's going to go out there and he's going to ball out. That's what he's going to do. I don't know if it's going to force him to suddenly become somebody different than who he is. I don't think that's the person that he is. I really don't. And I think, honestly, the Suns are banking on the fact they don't expect him to go in a hole either.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't risk everything. If they thought in the back of their mind, hey, if DA doesn't get paid before the start of the season, we're gonna lose him a little bit mentally this year. You can't risk that because you have a chance to win the NBA title this year. Like we're past that point where we have to be like, oh, well, how good are the Suns really? We don't have to pretend that the Suns aren't NBA title contenders. They almost just won it last year, and they basically brought everybody back. So you're right. You can't risk that with DA if you feel like mentally he would start to check out or pout or whatever, just not be completely dialed in. I mean, the biggest issue with him in the past is getting him to play with an edge consistently. If you feel like his feelings are going to be hurt and that edge is going to be gone, you wouldn't risk it. But at the same time, you know, it's very different. Mikal Bridges wasn't asking for max money. He got 4 years, $90 million. So that was a negotiation. Right. Like you said, with DA, it's not a negotiation right now.
That's right. How will DeAndre Ayton respond? This is the great question that faces us going into this season right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with how the players respond inside that locker room. Yeah, look, I've been saying this from the beginning. My fascination with this story, from the moment it appeared the Suns were not going to offer DA a max contract, has always been with the players inside the locker room. Where are the players on this? I cannot believe for the life of me that Robert Sarver and James Jones would risk alienating the locker room over what seems to be so obvious to the rest of us. How could you do this with our championship hopes on the line? How could you do that? You were two games away from winning a world championship. How could you risk messing that up for what seemed to be a given, and that is DA was going to get a max deal? Oh. How could you do that? There's only one answer. The Suns don't think it's going to shred team chemistry. They don't.
It is. I agree with you there. They're obviously.
Why is that, though, Luke? Well, that's the question you've got. Why do they think that? Maybe they already know. Maybe they've already had extended conversations with leadership inside that locker room. Maybe they already know how it feels. And if I know James Jones, that would be the first thing I'd be doing. I'd be talking to Chris Paul. I'd be talking to Devin Booker. I'd be talking to Jay Crowder. I'd be talking to these guys about this situation, saying, listen, do you understand from our perspective?
It is a tough spot when you're talking about a max deal because we don't know exactly what number Bridges' camp came to the Suns with and what the Suns came to him with, but there's some negotiation, right? Whereas if you're talking about a max deal and DA goes in and says, I want a max deal, and they say, okay, well, how about this? Well, there's point A and point B. There's no point C in the middle that they're meeting because DA wants to be a max guy. He looks around and is like, well, that guy's a max guy. So if he negotiates at all, if he comes off his number at all, like there's no meeting in the middle when you're talking about a max deal. He doesn't come in and be like, I want you to pay me more than a max deal, because such a thing doesn't exist. So it is tougher when those are the negotiations as opposed to Mikal Bridges, which is kind of a normal negotiation. But to your point, they must feel confident in those guys like Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Jay Crowder, not the only ones, but those are the first three I think we all think of, that if DA starts to kind of trail off at some point this season, they're going to hold him accountable whether he's getting paid, not getting paid, playing on a rookie deal, whatever. They don't care once the season starts. Those guys don't care. DA might care, but those guys don't care.
Why in the world would the Phoenix Suns do this? How could they do this to the rest of us when you were so close to winning a championship? DA was right in the middle of that possibility, and now you're not gonna pay him? How dare you?
They still could.
That's the reaction, right? But to me, there's only one explanation. There's only one. They don't think it's going to shred team chemistry in the locker room. They don't think that's going to happen. Why is that?
Yeah, the more
they know,
the more I think about this, the more I agree with that notion that it won't shred team chemistry in the locker room. I guess the risk, though, is like it's not going to divide DA from his teammates, but it's just you're tinkering with something. You're not going to have the same DA you had in the playoffs because, you know, he's pouting at the start of the season, or, you know, maybe it's not even so so obvious, maybe, or so like tangible, but maybe he just doesn't have that edge. You know, that's what I keep coming back to. It's not that I think DA is going to go out there and not try, but what if he's just the guy he was during the regular season last year? And we're never going to know, is that just because that's who he is, or is that because he didn't get paid? You know, the only outcome here that's good for the Suns is he goes out there and is like, I'll show you guys. And maybe he does have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder against ownership, not his teammates, but against ownership. But that's where this, that's where there's the extra wrinkle here. Now one of his teammates just got paid, and they're not, they didn't get paid what he would get paid if he accepted a deal. But still, just optically, your first game, if you're DA, you're lining up against Mikal Bridges, who just got extended, and you're lining up against Michael Porter Jr., who just got a max extension.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, for me, once again, I'm looking at the fix. The fix is in. You know, James Jones knows how that locker room is going to react. He knows how it is. And because of that, I don't think there's any other explanation going forward. Now, again, there may be. This is just me. Wedge Buster Ron, okay? This is my take right here. Nobody has even whispered a word of this to me. But I do wonder why it is that two very intelligent dudes, and Robert Sarver and James Jones, would gamble all of this. And the reaction of the players inside that locker room, and what kind of season the Suns are going to have. Because what? They don't want to pay DeAndre Ayton? Of course they're going to pay DeAndre Ayton at some point in time. Hopefully, they're going to have to pay him. Why would they do this? They've got a reason. That much I will promise you. They have a reason, and maybe part of that reason is they know it's not going to shred team chemistry. It's going to help DeAndre Ayton. That's what they believe. Why? Only they would be able to answer that question, because they know DeAndre Ayton way better than we know him.
Well, and that's the thing. It's important to point out this could still get done in the next 4 hours, but it is now 4 hours. We're not talking about 4 weeks. We're talking about 4 hours. But that's the other point you just hit on right there, Wolf, is the one I don't think gets talked about enough. He's going to get paid by the Suns next year then, unless you're hoping that he doesn't play well enough to earn a max deal.
Right.
And then what's the point of drafting him? And if he does play well enough to earn a max deal, that's the best case scenario. But is it worth the risk at this point, considering you just went to the finals? Again, I'll just keep coming back to this. It's not like the Suns snuck into the playoffs last year and lost in the first round, you know, in six games or five games or something. And they're like, okay, we got to jumpstart Ayton. Let's get this going. We're going to pay him this year or next year. Let's pay him next year to see if we can jumpstart him. They almost won the title. You're still going to pay him this year or next year. So as much as at the very...
So why would they be doing it, Luke? Why would they be doing it?
They don't believe
because
he's a max guy.
They think, not only that, they think it's going to do something to him. It's going to benefit him. That's why they're doing it. And they're not worried about how the players are going to respond to it. That's what I think. Because they already know how they're going to respond to it.
All right, we'll talk about this certainly throughout the day as we get closer to the deadline. When we come back, though, what do we see from the Cardinals' offense in Cleveland yesterday that makes you believe this is not just a Super Bowl contender, but one of the few teams in this league to beat right now? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.